Well, good day to all you folks. My name is John Nelson, and I work for the Colson Packet Company. That's the steamboat line right here in Yankton, Dakota Territory. And you know, I've worked on this river for so long, folks seem to always be asking me to talk about the adventure, excitement, and romance of life on the Missouri River and on the steamboats. Adventure, excitement, and romance. Well, I guess that's what I expected when I signed on as a cabin boy back in 1840. That was over 35 years ago. I was almost 16, and well, it was every boy's dream in every river town to become a steamboat man. Ah, just being on that boat, steaming along, quietly watching the banks slip by. Well, what I found was a lot of hard work. Running up and down the stairs, bring coffee to the officers, bring firewood to the galley, dump the chamber pots, helping whoever needed help. On the very first trip, the first mate bought a big load of red cedar wood. Now, red cedar burns mighty hot, mighty fast, makes a lot of steam, but it throws a terrible amount of sparks and hot embers. As the new fella on the boat, I was honored with the task of manning the upper deck with a wet rag and a bucket to extinguish any of these embers that landed on the deck before they could set the boat on fire. Now, as far as watching the banks quietly slip by, there was no time for that. There was no quiet either. There was smoke, dust, ash, and constant noise. The clang of boiler doors, the rattle of the pumps, the pounding of the engines, and behind it all, the roar of the paddle wheel, like a waterfall following us up the river. And at the end of my first day, I made yet another discovery. I discovered a cabin boy does not get a cabin. I had to find sleeping space on the deck, among the cargo, the fuel wood, the deck passengers, and about a score of sweaty, snoring roustabouts, and about 10 million mosquitoes. Well, pretty soon, I found out that the river was a dangerous place, just full of things that could sink a boat, hurt you, or even kill you. There's snags, those big broken-off tree stumps, just below the waterline, that can punch a hole right through the bottom of a boat, stop her dead in her tracks. They're sandbars that can strand a boat in falling water. These boats are all wood. They can and they do catch on fire. Boilers can explode. And even some of the people one meets can be dangerous. But I stayed on the boats. And I worked mostly on the Missouri. I decided some hard work wouldn't hurt. Well, not overly much. At that time, pay on the Missouri River was twice what it was on the Mississippi. Now, I started as a cabin boy, but I've also worked as a cook, an assistant carpenter, and as a steersman, helping the pilot turn the wheel. I've worked in as assistant engineer, and the last one of those is the only job that I've ever been fired from. That was on the Saluda back in 52. Captain there was Frank Belt, and the chief engineer was Hosiah Clancy. Captain Belt and Pilot LaBarge had been trying to get the boat around the bend above Lexington, Missouri for about 2 days, and they were running way behind schedule. You see, this was early April. The water was high and fast, chunks of ice floating in it, and the Saluda, well, she was a deep draft sidewheel boat. She was mighty heavy for her size and didn't have a lot of engine power. Well, the evening of that second day, I overheard Captain Belt boasting to another captain, "I'll round that bend in the morning or blow the boat to hell." Now, this caused me no small amount of concern, considering the age and condition of the Saluda. She was 6 years old. Her engines and boilers were even older. Been snagged and sunk 2 years before, then raised and rebuilt. Now, repairs notwithstanding, she was Well, she was a pig. And overloaded with hundreds of Mormon pioneers headed west. So the next morning, as we were preparing to cast off, I checked the boilers, as it was my duty as assistant. You can imagine how alarmed I was to find them overheated and nearly dry. I ran straight back to the engine room and I told Mr. Clancy about it. Well, that fool just grinned and said, "The captain wants more steam, I'll give him steam. Soon's I let water into those boilers, he'll have more steam than he knows what to do with." I said, "Clancy, those boilers were over 6 years old and spent a year underwater. They'll rip this boat to splinters." Clancy says to me, "Is the assistant telling the chief how to do his job?" And I say, "No, the assistant is telling the chief he's a damn fool." Well, Clancy's face gets a whole bunch redder than usual, and he hollers, "You're fired. Get off this boat." I said, "Suits me just fine. Soon as I collect my pay." So I headed up to the purser's office. Go in the purser's office, and I see the captain's dog there, chained up to the safe. Ugly dog. Well, Mr. Brockman, the purser, he gave me $11.97 out of the safe, pay me for the 9 days that I worked, and I got myself ashore just as fast as I could. I told some folks there they ought to get back from the landing, but they didn't pay me no mind. Well, I was heading myself on up the hill when all of a sudden I was knocked flat on my face by a tremendous explosion. When I turned over, I had to crawl under a porch to escape the hail of iron and wood fragments falling from the sky. From my shelter, I looked out and I saw the Saluda drifting downstream, sinking at the bow, with the forward two-thirds of her superstructure gone. When things stopped falling, I crawled out, walked back down the hill into the most horrible sight a man can imagine. Dead, broken people, men, women, children, pieces of people scattered among their possessions. Even years later, during the war between the states, I never saw anything so heart-wrenching. I saw Captain Belt's mangled body lying on a street. Clancy and both pilots were dead as well, along with about 100 other folks. There were broken windows, shattered glass everywhere. One building was completely demolished by a 20-foot section of a boiler that had landed on it. That 600-pound safe that had been in the purser's office had landed up on the bluff and burst open. The dog's chain was still attached to it. Well, I stayed there in Lexington a few days and helped out whatever way I could, but I just had to get away from the horror of it all. And I finally got a job on another boat headed upriver. First mate, he asked me if I was good with numbers, and I said, I thought so. He said, "We need an assistant clerk. Go up to the purser's office and show him what you can do." Well, that was my first job as assistant clerk, and I've been an assistant clerk, or a purser, up until last year when I became head bookkeeper for Commodore Coulson and his partners. But you know, every time I pass Lexington, I remember what I saw there. I get this feeling sort of like a rat gnawing at my guts. I don't think I'd call any of that adventure, excitement, or romance. But I suppose it is life and death on the Missouri. Well, I have a lot more stories to tell, and if you folks come back, I promise they won't all be as sad as this one. Thanks for listening.